All right. Well, good morning again. Welcome to 242 Worship today. We are so grateful that you are here, that you pulled up a chair, and that you've joined us for our next week in the series called The Table. With holidays like Thanksgiving around the corner, I mean, what says Thanksgiving more than a table, right? Speaking of Thanksgiving, I want to do something right now. I want you to get a chance to get to know some of the people at and around your table. We've done this in just a second. We've done this the past couple weeks. It's gotten rave reviews. People love just coming up and sharing things with strangers. It's really good. So we're going to ask you to do this again. You have a mission, though. You have two missions, actually. One, you need to share your name. And then also, number two, share your least favorite Thanksgiving food. Okay, everyone has like a favorite Thanksgiving food, right? Share your least favorite Thanksgiving food. Everyone's got to have one, right? Like, what's the one that you just don't care for? Maybe it's the yams or the cranberry sauce. I don't know what it is, but go ahead and get that in your mind. Your mission in the next 45 seconds is to find as many people at or around your table, share your name, and the one Thanksgiving dish you're most likely to pass over. All right, 3, 2, 1, go. The time goes by fast, 10 seconds. All right, you can go ahead and go on back to your seats. Thanks so much for playing this morning. See, it's fun. It's fun to share things with people around us, right? Now, however, I realize that if your spouse does all the cooking for Thanksgiving, I've put you in a very tricky situation the past 45 seconds. But you navigated through it splendidly, I'm sure. I'm sure. There was actually a study done of this. Do you know America voted? Do you know what America's least favorite Thanksgiving food is? Green bean casserole. We got some takers. Okay. We got some takers in the house today. Okay. Very good. But that's not actually mine. I hesitate to share mine with y'all. But this is a safe place, right? This is a safe place. Okay. Mm-hmm. So my name is Pastor Todd, and my least favorite Thanksgiving food is turkey. I know. So, okay, it's okay, right? I'll eat it. I do it every year, right? But I mean, like, come on, this is like the best meal of the year. What's wrong with, like, Thanksgiving steak, right? This wouldn't be a bad idea, right? That's all I'm saying, all right? But hey, but you know what? This is part of the fun of gathering around tables, right? Whenever you bring people together like this, we're bound to disagree on a couple of things, right? Like last week, I brought up the question, you know, do you start celebrating and decorating for Christmas before or after Thanksgiving? That did not end well, okay? People disagreed a little bit about that. But that's what happens when you bring people together. We tend to see things a little bit differently. That's actually what we see when we read our scripture story for today. So if you have a Bible or a Bible app, go ahead and get those out right now and open up to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. We have a story that starts in verse 6 that teaches us something about a table. That's actually what we've been doing in this entire series. We've been going to Scripture, opening up Scripture, and seeing the different things that God has to teach us as He gathers us around some different tables. That's what we see in this story. Matthew chapter 26, verse 6. And we're going to read this story right now. It says, "Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper..." Actually, I should probably pause right there. Pause. So Jesus, at this point in his ministry, when Jesus was here on earth doing his ministry thing, he traveled. That's what he did. He traveled for 3 years from town to town, and he did ministry, he taught, he did miracles, all kinds of things. He did this for 3 years. But now, at this point in our story, Jesus is right at the tail end of that three-year trip. It's almost over with. In fact, his last stop on his journey is going to be Jerusalem, the city where he died on the cross. But now he's at the stop right before that. And that city is none other than the city of Bethany, right? He's at the city of Bethany. And so Bethany and Jerusalem actually are not that far apart. They're maybe a little bit more than a mile in distance apart. So not that far, pretty much like the same distance from us to Mopac right now. Okay, so Bethany, Jerusalem, not that far off, not far from this final destination that Jesus is heading to. But right now he's at Bethany. And I'll keep reading here. It says, there, Bethany, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment. And she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. So we talked last week about how back then they would recline at tables because their tables were actually on the ground. And so they would kind of recline as they would eat and share meals with one another. So here's Jesus reclining away, minding his own business. And here comes this lady in this story, evidently straight from a doTERRA party. And she comes and she brings along this very expensive essential oil that she had just bought, right? And, but it's not like the little jar. It's like the big jar, right? The value size one. But she comes and she takes this oil and she pours it all over Jesus. Now, this might seem a little bit strange, okay? But actually back then, it wasn't that's strange. That's actually what you did at a funeral. Whenever someone died, they would take very expensive oil and they would pour it over the deceased. One, it was a sign of respect, but also it was practical. It covered up the smell. So what's weird here isn't that this woman has now poured all this expensive oil over Jesus. What's weird is he's not dead yet. Okay, that's what's strange in this story. All right, let's move on to verse 8. It says, when his disciples saw it, they were not confused. They didn't think it was weird. They were upset. It says, they were indignant, it says, saying, why this waste? For this, it could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. You see, this is how timeless the Bible is. People have always disagreed about the best ways to spend money, right? Well, see, here in this story, for the disciples, this is a fair statement. Because from the way they saw it in this story, this oil, this very, very expensive oil, was just being flat out wasted. Poured right out, right? It would be as if you're into essential oils, it would be as if someone took your most expensive ones and just like dumped them down the drain, saying, I heard this is really good for the pipes, right? You'd be like, no, right? You can't do that, right? That's actually the disciples here in this story. They're saying, what? You can't do this, right? This isn't a funeral. No one's dead here. The way they saw it, this was just being just poured and wasted all over the ground. Right, that's the way that they saw it. It says, verse 10. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, oh, why do you trouble this woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. See, Jesus, he's not against helping the poor. By no means, right? But what he is saying here in this part of the story is that that oil that this woman poured out, it wasn't being wasted. It wasn't like it was serving no purpose. In fact, it should have been a reminder for those gathered around that table that Jesus, he wasn't going to be around forever. And so it continues. Verse 12, in pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Evidently, this woman saw something that The disciples didn't. See, Jesus, he was on the road to his death. It was the next stop. That's where he was heading next. This woman pours out this oil on Jesus as actually a sign of faith, that she knew exactly who he was and what he has come here to do. So Jesus concludes verse 13. He says, "Truly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." And I would say that scripture has been fulfilled. So what is this woman and Jesus trying to teach us as they gather around this table, reclining around this table here in our story? I think they're trying to teach us this, that the table is a place to prepare. The table is a place to prepare. I mean, what did Jesus say in our story? He said that this woman is actually preparing him for burial. You see, it seems like this woman knew what Jesus knew. He was about to go through some of the worst days any human being had ever seen. He was about to be betrayed and arrested. He was about to be tortured and even crucified. He's about to be buried in a tomb. See, but maybe this woman knew what Jesus knew, that this was going to be no easy task. This was going to be so difficult, but it's what needed to be done. It's what needed to be done to bring this world that's full of sin forgiveness. To bring this world that's full of conflict peace. To bring this world that's full of death life. See, I wonder if this woman knew what Jesus knew. That as he went down the road, just a little more than a mile down the road, he was about to win for this world forgiveness and peace and life so powerful it would actually change the world forever. So here in this story that we just read, there at that table, there at Bethany, they need to prepare for that. Jesus needs to prepare for that. He needs to prepare himself, but not only that, he needs to prepare his disciples, right? Because the cross that he was about to go to, what was about to change their world radically, completely turn it upside down. Were they ready for that? Do they see that? It sure doesn't seem like it. It doesn't seem like they're quite ready. They need to take a seat at that table, sit there with Jesus and that woman, and take that time to prepare. Friends, today I believe that Jesus is gathering us around these tables here this morning because we need to prepare. We need to prepare. You see, we are his disciples. We are the disciples of Jesus. Only the difference is for us, Jesus has already gone to the cross, right? He's already changed the world through his death and his resurrection. This happened a long time ago. That's the difference for us. But the thing is, for us, Jesus' disciples in the year 2019, right now, Jesus ain't done yet. He ain't finished yet. Jesus is far from finished changing this world through his death and resurrection. It might have happened a long time ago, but its power has not stopped. Not even for 1 minute. Not even close. No, Jesus, he continues. He continues to change this world. He continues to bring this world what forgiveness and peace and life. He continues to do this in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in the lives of those around us. Jesus is far from finished changing the world through his death and resurrection. The question is, are we prepared for that? Or I guess a better question is, how can we prepare for that. Friends, this is a day that we call Commitment Sunday here at our church. It's a day that we are asking you to help us prepare for the lives that Jesus is going to change right here. Right here at 242 Worship. Right here at Bethany Lutheran Church and Preschool. Help us prepare for all the lives that Jesus is going to change here in this place in the year 2020. We believe this. We believe that Jesus is far. He is far from finished changing lives here in our community, right around us. Far from finished. In fact, we believe this. You can write this sentence down. We believe that Jesus has big things in store for Bethany in the year 2020. And so today, we're asking you, but not just us. Jesus is asking you, help us prepare. Help us prepare. So this month, we've asked you. We've asked you to pray about your finances, your dollars, and your cents. Take some time and reflect on this. And how can you use what you have to bless this ministry right here in the year 2020? We've challenged you. We've asked you to fill out those commitment cards. And if you haven't got a chance to do that, we actually have some right there at the tables right in front of you this morning. You see, this card that you have, it's a simple piece of paper, but it's so much more than that. Because when you commit to this ministry, when you make that commitment with your dollars, when you say, this is how God is moving me to support this ministry in the year 2020, you know what that actually does? That actually helps us be a little bit more like this woman here in our story in Matthew 26. Looking just a mile down the road, seeing in the short distance the things that Jesus has prepared, the world-changing, the life-changing things that Jesus has prepared. When you commit to this ministry, you help us be a little bit more like that woman. Look down the road, the things Jesus has in store for us very soon. See, we want to be prepared for that. We want to be prepared for that. Here's the thing. Let me put it this way. If you're having people over for Thanksgiving, maybe you're having friends or family come from a long ways away, but you're the one that's hosting. People are coming to your house, right? And they're coming. They're expecting this great meal, right? A really good time. But if Thanksgiving morning comes and you haven't gone to the grocery store yet, or your china is dirty in the kitchen sink, if Thanksgiving morning comes and your turkey is still in the freezer, right, you were not prepared, right? Actually, at that point, just leave it in the freezer, get the steaks out, it'll be better, I promise. But you see, we want to be prepared. We want to be prepared for every single person that Jesus plans to bring to Bethany in the year 2020. We want to be prepared for that. Well, we believe that actually Jesus is gathering us around a table like this right now so that we can prepare for those things that he has in store for us. But this table right here, this is good. But I don't think that this table actually says that we are ready for big things here at Bethany, right? This is nice, right? But it's kind of small, right? I don't think this table quite says that we are ready for big, life-changing things for the people who come to Bethany next year, right? I think that we need to do something with this. Actually, Kirk, Kim, can y'all come on up here and help me with this? We need to do something with this. See, this table, it needs to say that we are ready. I think that we just need to actually make it a little bit bigger. Maybe that way you can do that. Can someone actually help us make this a little bit bigger here this morning? Ah, thank you. Oh, wow. Okay, great. Thank you. People, thank you. So just imagine next year. Just imagine the people who are going to be coming next year to Bethany to let's say, to be baptized. We believe that baptism is a beautiful gift at Bethany. We believe this is how God comes, and it comes into our hearts to claim us as his own, to actually bring his forgiveness and his peace and his life into our hearts. We believe that's what she does. We had 38 people baptized so far this year at Bethany. 38 people, souls that Jesus came into and claimed as his own. Are we prepared? Are we prepared for the 38 plus who are coming in the year 2020? I think this needs to be bigger. I think can someone help us with this? This needs to be bigger. Anyone? Oh, perfect. Thank you. See, I think that we need to be prepared for, just imagine all the people who are going to be coming, thank you, to worship this next year, in the year 2020. Jesus, he loves to meet with his people in worship in this place. He loves to gather with us. He loves it when we sing out our lungs in praise to him. He absolutely loves that. You see, in this place, this is where Jesus meets with us. He hears our confession. He meets with us through his body and his blood. In this place, in this worship space, actually, Jesus loves meeting with individual people each and every week. This past year, you know, all kinds of people have come into Bethany's ministry. Maybe Jesus met with them one time as they were passing through town, maybe with people every single week. In fact, Jesus, he loves, again, meeting with individual people. He met with, this past year, so far in 2019, 37,739 people individually over the past couple of the past year. 37,739 times that Jesus met with a soul here in worship. Let's prepare. Let's be ready for the tens of thousands of others who will be coming into this ministry in the year 2020. Think this is big enough?
No.
I don't think so either, right? This needs to be bigger, right? Right? Can anyone help us with this, right? Can anyone help us with this? Oh, perfect. We got one in the back. Great. You see, just imagine the people next year who are going to come to Bethany, and they're going to be hurting in some way. Thank you. In some way, shape, or form, they're hurting because their life is a mess, because they have things going on in their lives. And no matter what it is that they're going through, something tells them they need to come to this place called Bethany. And when they come to actually hear about someone who loves them, who died for them, who actually died for the mess that they are in. And he's with them right now. Just imagine the people that Jesus needs to meet with at Bethany next year. Let's be ready for that. Let's be prepared for that. But this needs to be bigger, right? We need to be prepared for more. Can anyone? We're out of leaf space, right? Though, yeah, we are. But can anyone help us with this? Can we? Perfect. We need to make this bigger. People, just imagine the people that you are going to invite to Bethany next year, in the year 2020. Perfect. The card table, it'll work, right? We need to make room. Thank you. We need to make room for more. The friends you're going to be inviting, the people that you're going to need to bring here, the neighbors that you know who need to know Jesus. Just imagine all those folks that you're going to bring here to this place. Let's be ready for them. Let's be prepared for them, right? But this needs to be bigger, right? Can anyone else help us with this? We need more. Perfect. We got one more. Awesome. There we go. The kids table. Anyone here still sit at the kids table, right? We got room. Thank you. Perfect. Just imagine the generations to come. The people, the kids who are going to come to this ministry next year, those who are going to come and learn to sing Jesus Loves Me, that Jesus is the light of their life. Just imagine the kids who are going to be in this place. Let's be prepared for that. Let's be ready for that. Friends, mark my words again. Jesus has big things in store for this ministry next year. When you commit, when you support this ministry, you help us be prepared for each and every life that Jesus plans to change in this place, just like he has for you and for me. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.